Please pray with me. Dear Lord, I just pray that this message not be my message, that these words not come from me, but may they come from you. May they serve your purpose and give you glory. Praise in your name. Amen. During this time of Advent, we've been speaking messages about the unexpected gifts that Jesus, having been born as a baby into the world, has given us. We've talked about peace. We've talked about hope. Today, I get to talk about joy. Next week, we'll talk about love. Unexpected blessings. Unexpected truths. That's really what we celebrate during this time of year. For it was Jesus being born as a baby, entering into the world, setting aside his divine right, his majestic throne, and being a man for a while. That's why we celebrate. And it's because of that blessing, that wonderful gift, that we have all of these other gifts. We get to talk about joy this morning. I'd like to read for us again the passage from Luke chapter 2. Here's the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Whereas the version that was read earlier, the inn. Aria did a wonderful job portraying the innkeeper's wife. Yet, the innkeeper's wife does not really exist. There may not even have been an inn. During that time, there certainly were businesses, places of business where someone could stop and pay for lodging for the evening. But depending on what version of scripture you read, depending on how you read that, translate that text, for instance, the version that I read, which was NIV, it says no guest room was available. See, during this time, as this is a fairly small town, Bethlehem. It's small by their standards, but certainly small by our standards. We don't really know, but estimates maybe around 10,000 people. You know, not a big town, nothing like Jerusalem. But yet, the Caesar had said, everybody needs to go to their hometown so that we can count you, so we can figure out how many people are living in this place, so that we can better tax you, really was the reason. And so everybody went. And even though Bethlehem was a small town, a lot of people came from Bethlehem. A lot of people's ancestors originated in Bethlehem. It was where King David's family came from, which is where Joseph's family came from. And so Joseph, along with all the people who originated from there, claimed that as their ancestral home, went back to do paperwork, to sign their name, let Caesar know that they were there and they were willing to pay taxes and available. Well, the population went from maybe 10,000 to probably over 100,000 people. You know, if Indianapolis or even Carmel, if all of a sudden the population went up 10 times, where would everybody stay? There would not be enough hotels. Would not be enough motels. We'd be scrambling to find room to stay with family. And that's very well likely what Joseph did. He went from family member to family member, distant cousin to distant cousin, people he knew, trying to figure out somewhere to stay, and he started to get desperate. And so the story of the innkeeper's wife, even though the innkeeper's wife is, there may have been an innkeeper's wife, we don't know. If there was an innkeeper, then probably he was married. But the story is powerful. Because, as Aria portrayed, the innkeeper was the first person to experience the joy that came with the birth of Jesus, aside from Joseph and Mary. Joseph is desperate. He needs to find a place for the King of Kings to be born. He's Jesus' earthly father. He can't let Jesus be born on the street. That would not be good. So he's desperate. He goes from door to door trying to find somewhere where his baby, this baby, can be born safely. And so he finally knocks on this door, and the innkeeper's wife, the inn, opens up, and the husband says, "You know, we don't have any room. We ran out of space a long time ago." But he's desperate. And the innkeeper's wife empathizes, shows compassion on this young couple who are obviously about to have a baby at any moment. And they say, "We don't have any place in the house, but you can go sleep in the barn. In a pile of hay, a pile of dirty hay, a place that they were not expecting to have guests. They had not prepared that space. They had not cleaned it up. They had not tidied it up. They were not anticipating anybody sleeping out there that night. But Jesus had to be born somewhere. And that's where it was. And this was unexpected to the innkeeper's wife. As you can imagine, to experience, to be there, to have a first row seat to the greatest story ever told, the greatest miracle, the greatest gift ever given. And she's faithful. I like to think that the innkeeper's wife, if she existed, she would not just have said, "Yeah, the barn's out back, help yourself." She would have walked them out there. She would have made some way to build a fire out there. She would have brought out extra blankets to them. She would have brought out warm drinks to them. She would have brought food, whatever food she had, to them. She would have tried to have made them feel as welcome and as comfortable as she possibly could. But yet, Jesus was still born in a dirty stable. But that's not the whole story, right? There's more to this story. And I'd like us to listen now to a very wise theologian named Linus.
"Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?"
"Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about." "Lights, please." "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That's what Christmas is all about. Linus simply read Scripture, recited Scripture, the story where the angels proclaimed joy has come into the world. This joy changes everything. And just like for the innkeeper's wife, it was unexpected. Just like for the shepherds, it was unexpected. But yet, it was perfect. Did you notice in that clip of Linus speaking? I had never noticed this before. This first aired in 1965. So this has aired nationally every year for 51 years, my whole life. And I never noticed that when Linus says, quotes the angel saying that they told the shepherds, "Fear not," that he dropped his security blanket. Have you noticed that? And he then uses both hands to tell the rest of the story. That is pretty neat, I think. And Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts and who did this, he knew what he was doing. He knew that that was a powerful moment and spoke volumes. Because that's true. When the joy of Jesus came into the world, it changed everything. It made it so that we have nothing to fear. We really have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be worried about. We can cling to that hope and that peace and that love and that joy that comes from Christ. What a blessing. But that joy is so much more than we really understand. Especially that unexpected joy. Those of us who remember our lives before knowing Christ, maybe we lived lives that were far from anything that could be described as Christian faith or Christian practice. And I bet it was unexpected the day that you met Jesus, or the day that any of us met Jesus, whether we were raised in the church or not, the day that we truly felt Jesus in our hearts, the day we truly understood the story of Christmas, the day that we truly understood what that means, what Jesus did when he died on the cross, the day we truly understood that and owned it. I'm sure many of us could tell stories of how unexpected that moment was. How unexpected the joy that came from that moment was. That is a powerful thing. But it's in some ways it's powerful because it's unexpected. Let's look at unexpected humor. Does anybody consider themselves to be a comedian? You know, there's a certain science and art to telling a joke. And when I was younger, I wanted to be a comedian. I had aspirations of being a comedian when I grew up. I thought that'd be a great thing. I loved laughing. I loved making people laugh. And so I studied a little bit, and the key to telling a good joke is people can't know what you're about to say. The punchline has to jump out. It has to be unexpected. It has to be unanticipated. It has to be shocking in some ways. For humor really to make an impact, it has to be unexpected. But when that when that joke or that funny line or whatever it is happens, the performer, the comedian, the storyteller, whoever it is, delivers that punchline well, and you don't see it coming, oh man, you laugh, don't you? That's a powerful thing. Unexpected humor. What about unexpected news? That also has power to it. Those things that we hear and we're not expecting it, man, that unexpected news can take our breath away, can it? Whether it's good or bad. You know, the news of a passing of a friend or a loved one, man, it takes the breath right out of you. Or the news of a wonderful blessing, you know, a friend you haven't seen in years stops by unannounced. Man, that just wells up all kinds of emotions, doesn't it? Or what about an unexpected victory? Everybody loves to cheer for the underdog, don't we? We love it when the guy who's not supposed to win wins, or the team that is supposed to get blown out pulls out the upset. We love that. That unexpected victory. That's why we tune into sports. That's why ESPN is a success. Because of unexpected victories. All of us have a story about that. And all these unexpected moments in life, they have power. Because when they happen, they just well up in us emotion that we didn't even know was there. My wife cries the drop of a hat pretty much at anything. But she does it because something catches her. Something strikes her as significant or impactful or whatever it is. The same is true for unexpected joy. Unexpected joy is powerful and changes lives and changes the way we think about the world and changes the way we relate to other people Because we don't expect it. We don't expect it because it's nothing that we have control over. It's nothing that we do for ourselves. It's nothing that we can manufacture. AJ, talking with the kids, made the distinction between happiness and joy. And that's an important distinction. Happiness, it happens, but it's fleeting. But joy is everlasting. Happiness, we work hard to try to figure out how to be happy. Industries are created around it. Shopping malls are run because we're trying to find happiness. Every commercial you ever see on TV is trying to convince you that you need to be happy. And we seek it, and we sometimes find it, but it never lasts. But joy lasts because it comes from Jesus, because it comes from God, because it doesn't come from us or anything else around us. The wonderful gift of Jesus being born, the wonderful message of the angels proclaiming that truth is that joy is coming to the world, is that joy comes and is here forever. That Jesus doesn't come and go. Jesus came and has stayed. And now the Holy Spirit resides in each and every one of us. And that joy that the angel talked about, that the innkeeper's wife experienced, and that we all have experienced, that is always there. That really is the unexpected part of joy. We don't expect it to always be there, but yet it always is. And we can bank on it. Challenges come, difficulties come, but that joy never wavers. The joy is the gift of Christmas. That joy is why we celebrate. It's why we gather in this place and sing hymns and do all the things that we do, light our candles, because of the joy. That's why this place will be filled to capacity on Christmas Eve. It's not because people come here because they're bored or they're experiencing anger or resentment or disappointment or whatever it is. Those things are part of life. But we gather in this place because of joy. Jesus is a God of joy. And the best part of this time of year is it gives us an opportunity to share the joy with others. This joy that we have, it comes from God, but we have it. And how unexpected would it be for someone who has never experienced this joy themselves, has never heard the story of Jesus, has never heard the story of Christmas, has grown up in this country, has watched TV their whole life, but has never really heard the Christmas story. How unexpected would it be for one of us to share it with them? A neighbor, or a friend, or a coworker, or somebody. And how unexpected would it be for them if they came into this place and heard the story themselves and realized that that joy is for them? Man, that's unexpected. And often we think it's unlikely, but it's not. It happens every day. That joy is in us. It's in the truth. It's in the scripture. It's everywhere we look. We just need to let it loose. We just need to trust in it. And when we trust in that unexpected joy, then other people hear it and feel it and own it, and their lives are changed by it. To me, that's unexpected. But it's so possible. May we not just hear about joy, not just acknowledge that joy in our life, but may we trust and be bold and share that joy with others. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you because you are an awesome and amazing God, and you have given us the greatest gift ever in Jesus. May we always feel connected to you May we be joyful, and may that joy bubble up in us. And may we do the unexpected and share that gift of joy with others. Pray this in your name. Amen.